Hi guys, and welcome back to the pod. Season 4, episode 1, obviously new Premier League season. Ari, off camera, just before we started recording, very well said that we probably have more seasons than episodes. So I think it's a good note for us to be more regular this season. I think we will be, considering obviously the Prem is seeming to be a very exciting season with all the transfers and obviously all the drama which has ensued in the past couple of days, which we will get to. But for now, I think obviously the main topic for this podcast is sort of previewing the upcoming season, speaking about transfers, speaking about the whole Kane drama, speaking about who's going to win, who's not going to win, what our predictions are, talk a bit about the Fantasy Premier League and our thoughts on that, and just overall get everyone's views and predictions on the Prem this season. So I think, obviously, I think the right place to start, considering all the drama today, and mind you, we are recording on the Thursday, where, for whoever's listening, will know about the entire Kane saga. Rai, let me start with you. Kane, obviously, we've known today that Spurs have agreed terms with Bayern. I have said since the beginning that I still don't think he's going to go. I still think that, I mean, it's obviously there's a lot of optimism in this, but I don't think he's going to go. I think he's going to stay. I think he's going to break the record. But we've sort of discussed this off camera. Let's get your thoughts. And I'll be interested to hear from Ari and Sandy as well, but I personally don't think he's going. I think he has a lot more to prove in the Prem. He has the goal scoring record to take with him. He goes to Bayern, and like a lot of pundits, Jamie Carragher has been very vocal about this. Gary Neville has said it, that he goes there, wins a couple of Bundesligas. Does it really change his name? Does it really add excitement to his life? Do people actually say, oh my God, now he's won a trophy? I don't think so, but yeah, let's get your take, Rai.
I think, first of all, good to be back. We're going to try and be a little more regular. I know me and Ari said this the last season when we start, especially during the World Cup, but this time we're actually going to try and be a little more regular, bring you guys a little more content than before. But yeah, getting straight to it, Kane, I don't know. I was very optimistic at the beginning of the, not the beginning of the week, but yeah, like, I mean, Monday, Tuesday, up till yesterday, I was optimistic. Even this morning, I was like, yeah, I don't think this is going to happen, because there was no, I mean, there were rumors that Bayern are going to put in another bid, but there wasn't any concrete documentation that they had actually put in the bid. And obviously, we know that Kane wanted all of this resolved till Saturday. Now, to counter your point, and I know we discussed this on the phone a couple of hours back, I think it's too late for him to be considering, oh, is Bayern the right move? Is, you know, the general context of going to the Bundesliga and leaving the Premier League and the record and all that. I think he has thought about it, and I think that decision was made earlier when these talks started, because if he was still thinking about that, we wouldn't be at this stage. So I think the only thing that the deciding factor now is the timing. Is it too late? You know, as we know, he made it very clear that he wants, once the season starts, he wants to stay at Tottenham. I consider that to be from Friday onwards, because I think whether he leaves on Friday or whether he leaves on Sunday, there's not much difference there. But let's see, you know, I mean, what are the alternatives? I mean, if you has asked me last month, I would have said it's a stupid move, because he can go anywhere he likes next year for free. And the fee that Bayern are willing to pay Tottenham, he could take that same sum directly to him, like Mbappe is doing with Madrid. But yeah, I'm not as optimistic as you. I don't think it's a done thing, but I think if we've got to this stage, especially if Tottenham have accepted, I think he ends up going. But I do think that we'll know by tonight. So by the time this episode is out, this conversation will be a little bit redundant. But yeah,
Before we
go back to you, because me and you have very strong opinions on this, and we have a biased. Hear from Ari and Sandy. It's just Sandy, who till yesterday or till this morning was still like, oh, he's going to come to the United.
I haven't lost any hope yet. I haven't lost any hope yet. Wait, I have one question. Do you think he goes into the Hypothetically, he doesn't go to Bayern. You think he goes into the final season as his last season, and will Levy let him go for free next year, considering how much Tottenham have invested in Kane?
But Tottenham have not invested in Kane. I mean, Tottenham have paid the salary of an academy player and got a return on their investment already, right? If Tottenham had bought him for 50 million, you could bring that up. But I agree with what you're... I get your point about him leaving on a free. I think there are two perspectives. One perspective is the business perspective, which obviously the club is going to look at, which is the only reason that there's a discussion happening this summer, let's be very clear.
Right, of course.
And there's also the fan perspective. You ask 100 Spurs fans, there'll be one or two who'll tell you, yeah, he can go, we want to take 100 million. A, we're not confident that the club's going to spend it in the right places, even though their transfer business in the last 2 or 3 years has been much better. And B, I don't think... I mean, I would take a season of Kane over 86 million. Right? Because
fair
I think...
Enough. Right.
I don't think Spurs are in the situation where they were 10 years back when they sold Bale, that they need that sort of money to progress. Spurs have money. They're the eighth richest club in the world. So they don't need to be selling anymore. You know? And the player's not even like, it's not like 2 years back where he's like, I want to go, I'm not turning up to training and all. He's very happy to play out that last year and see how it goes.
I think he seems more like happy to stay at Tottenham, even just by reading every tweet. It seems like Levy wants to squeeze the 100 million out. He wants to see the 100 million in his bank account more than Kane does.
I think, and Deep will agree with me, I think every Spurs fan would take the chance that the team does well enough to convince Kane to stay past next year versus taking 100 million right now. You know?
Right. And
Ali, what do you think?
The idea...
What do you think? Because next year at this time, if Kane does not sign a new contract, we could be looking at him going to Madrid. And I think, I mean, if this was Madrid, I don't think that we would have got this far. I think if Madrid were in for Kane, this would have been a done deal a month and a half.
Yeah,
back.
He would be starting for Madrid against Bilbao.
Exactly.
Was giving
exactly. Yeah.
I don't want Kane to leave the Premier League because he's come so close to breaking the record. I mean, and he's reached a stage where, you know, and we as an audience also evolved, like him winning trophy doesn't really matter. He's already there up amongst the greats of the Premier League. I don't know why he'll go to Bayern Munich just for the lalach of winning his first trophy. It doesn't really matter, in my opinion. You know, for me, I've ever felt that, you know, trophies is not what defines how great a player is. I mean, we all know his capability. So if he's thinking that, he's completely wrong. Unfortunately, Harry, you need to change your thinking, buddy, because if I were in Kane's position, I would be loyal to Spurs, dude, to see how much the fans love me and, you know, how much the city loves me, the owners, everyone is just a big fan of me. And why would I want to leave to Germany, start a new life in Munich with new fans, et cetera, when you're already so close to, you know, confirming your place with the greats? I mean, if he beat Scherer's record in such a less time, then I don't think anyone can talk up to him and say he's not a good player because he didn't win any trophies. No one's going to say that. So if I was Kane, I would just stay put. No one cares about 100 million. It's in football, 100 million, honestly, these days, it doesn't mean much. And Spurs anyway doesn't have a great record of reinvesting that money. We've seen that with Bale. So if I was Kane, I would stay put, show up against Brentford, score a couple of goals, make people forget about it, end the season with 30-odd goals, break the record next season, and just be happy, man.
I think it's interesting that you brought up Bale, because I think as a club, it's a reality check, you know? I mean, we're sitting at exactly almost 10 years from 3 weeks away from 10 years to the day that Bale was sold to Madrid. And I was 2-3 years into supporting Spurs then. You know, it was heartbreaking to see Bale leave. And for all the progress we made, new stadium, this, that, for me as a fan, to 10 years later to be in the exact same situation is a bit nuts. It's kind of, I mean, if we sell Kane now, it's kind of a marker that this club has, it raises the question, has the club actually progressed in the last 10 years? You know?
What about the idea of seeing Kane maybe not go to Madrid next year, but play for a Premier League rival?
I think that's one of the reasons that this conversation with Bayern is taking place, because I think more than the 100 million, Levy is scared of
losing
letting
him
Kane
to a
go
Prem.
to a Prem rival.
Yeah,
and I think the
that
only
makes
I
sense
think
because
the one to keep an eye on if that happens is obviously City. If they come back in
United.
for him, he'll go there. That's the first choice. I don't think he goes to Chelsea.
But
I don't think
they've
he
got
goes to
Haaland.
Arsenal. I don't think he suits Liverpool. The one to watch is if United have a season that is good enough to want him to go
Lure
there.
him in.
Because
Yeah.
if he was a free agent right now, he wouldn't go to United. Let's be real.
I
Because
think
the
I
only
think
other
Kane
club
could
in
go
the
to.
Prem I see him. Yeah, go on,
I
Ori.
think Kane should go to London Town, bro. Just vibes.
Championship next year.
That same as
But
Spurs.
I mean, before we sort of, I mean, yeah, I think we can obviously speak about Kane for the rest of the pod, considering especially Raihan's on this. I think it's super interesting to see, and the next couple of hours, if not days, for sure, will tell us what happens. I don't know. As my final thoughts is that it's sort of, Ryan, you probably agree, it's sort of reminiscent of a couple of years back when he did that entire overlap. And like the first game of the season, we're beating City, and then all the fans are like singing, "Are you watching Harry Kane? Are you watching Harry Kane?" I don't know. There's something about, I mean, Gareth Bale joined the world class Real Madrid.
Nice.
Gareth Bale is joining. World class. Bayern Munich, but at the same time, it doesn't have that same stature as Real Madrid does. They'll reach a certain stage.
Can I just say that if Deep or Raihan were representing Kane and not his dumb brother, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Anyway, on that note, let's talk about the Prem. Cool. So now moving obviously on to the bigger season ahead of us. Let's just start with, I mean, we can sort of divide it by team, or we can just sort of do our predictions. And I think that's the better way to do it, because then we can sort of delve into each team further. But Ari, let's just start with you and sort of see where you see the season playing out and who you think is going to win it, who you think is, and what your sort of predictions are, where in general, what your talking points of the season ahead are.
Damn, bro, you put me on the spot.
I mean, considering the four of us, and I know you were ordering, just for our viewers, can I just tell everyone that Ari, before the call, was planning to order popcorn from PVR, until I told him that he could just Swiggy normal microwaveable popcorn. Then he managed to burn that as well for the second
Not
time.
Not just before the
now
podcast.
That you've had your
Just before the podcast, while we were talking about Kane, I could see him munching down some popcorn.
Precisely. I was hungry. That's my midnight snack. Huh? And
so
it's
now, Ari,
still
now
1 hour to midnight.
Now that you're done with your midnight snack,
that's my pre-midnight snack. Kidding. So coming back to the Premier League, I think it's a really easy decision to make who's going to win the league. I think Burnley have won the championship. I think they're going to go back-to-back. They'll win the Premier League. Win the company. He's learned Pep Guardiola. JK. I think City's going to win the league again. I think they're just too good. Plus, it's Pep. So, I think they'll make it interesting like they always do. They'll give one of the teams a head start in the beginning of the season, like they gave Arsenal last season and Liverpool and all a few years before that. They'll be second till like February, March. And then they'll go on a 20-game winning run and they'll win the league by 20 points. That's what happens every year. I think that's going to happen this year too. I think Golden Boot, I don't think Haaland is winning the Golden Boot. He is going to absolutely
Let's go, Ari,
everyone
Ari, let's
and
go,
win it.
Let's go. Let's go. You predicted your champions. Let's go top six. Post that. Because let's just cover the teams first and then we'll jump into the players.
Fair enough. So my top six, I think my winner is obviously City. I think second is going to be Arsenal, because now they've got some rice to go along with that curry that they cooked last season. I think they'll end up finishing second again, because they're still not City. Then this third position, in my opinion, is going to be Liverpool. I think Darwin Nunez is going to bang a lot of goals this season. Still not be the top scorer. Salah will even obviously score more goals than him. Fourth position is going to, it's in my opinion, the toughest to judge right now. I think it's going to be one of Chelsea or Man United finishing fourth. My money is on Chelsea, probably because I personally hate United. And Chelsea are...
Yeah, you know, I'm just taking it. Go on, no worries.
No, man, I think Reece James is going to play full 38 games this season, dude. I think my shocking prediction of the season. He's the captain. Watching
get injured in the first 38 minutes of the game.
Is he even fit to start the season?
He's club captain.
No, I'll tell you why, because
when I saw that he's club captain, I was like, who's club vice captain? Because that guy's got a job on his hands.
Chilwell, dude, he's chilling on the bench all the time. Dude, he's bench Chilwell when he's injured. No, I'm saying Reece James.
That's a
Reece
good
James,
one. I'm gonna say.
Reece James has seen his sister bang in goals for the country at the World Cup. I think he's going to learn something. Play 30 games. I think Chelsea is going to finish fourth. Fifth, in my opinion, Aston Villa. Obviously, because you know, I'm not going to put United anywhere near top four.
So we're out of your top seven also.
Who's fifth? Sorry,
fifth is Aston Villa, bro. Fifth is Aston Villa for one reason, because it's good evening every time when IMV steps on the pitch, dude. To manage that team, I'm telling you, Ollie Watkins is better than however you pronounce Hojlund, whoever you bought. Firstly, Hojlund. He scored nine.
Hojlund.
Oh, damn. That's a tough name to pronounce, because he's just scored 9 goals in the Serie A and you spent 80 million on him. So good luck with that.
Atalanta bought him for 2 million before us. We have to pay the United price tag for him. You know?
I almost forgot you all paid Antony close to 100 million. Anyway,
not
that's
close to 100.
damn, you guys are finishing 6th in my predictions, dude.
Imagine if we still end.
Just because you paid
Ari, I think you're forgetting Jadon Sancho.
Oh my god. You know, one more team I forgot is Spurs. They're not finishing top six, buddy. They're not finishing top six. I'm sorry.
just for mine and Deep's sake, what do you have Spurs finishing?
I think I have you avoiding relegation this season. Let's not dive deep into the positions. I'm kidding. I think eighth or seventh. I think it's between Newcastle and Spurs who's going to finish mid-table.
Moving swiftly on Newcastle. Ari's
one second.
Absolute
no, nonsense. I need to dive into this. Sorry. Newcastle 7th. Spurs 8th.
Yeah.
Where did you have Brighton?
Oh my, it's not going to be really bright for Brighton, I think, this season. I think all their shine is over last season. I think, bro, Brighton, honestly, very exciting to watch. Deserby, blah, 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 blah.
And
blah.
Chelsea?
Ooh, let's get on. Chelsea's fourth, bro. Chelsea's fourth for one reason.
Chelsea fourth.
And
okay.
One reason only, dude. Lauren James, what a player for England, dude. She's been playing really well. I think Chelsea's going to finish fourth.
Right. Okay. Moving on.
You talked about two different
Ari,
families
what are
right
your, okay, who's going to get relegated at the other end?
Luton, they are going straight down, bro. Firstly, that stadium, amazing. You can never believe it. A team with that stadium is going to be hosting Premier League games.
For a good time, not a long time. Yeah.
Luton, they are going to play 19 games over there. Wow, congratulations. That jersey sucks, by the way. Completely orange burns your eyes. They are going to come last. I think Sheffield United, Blades, they are going to get torn apart in the Premier League. This one, I think West Ham, dude. West Ham, what are they doing, man? What are they doing? I mean, damn, now it's serious. Now all of a sudden, I'm senti now, dude. What are West Ham doing, dude? Damn.
God knows, man, honestly.
It's madness.
You think Moyes
is
the first one to get sacked this season?
We can say September, once the season starts.
That's like Rai calling Ollie.
who do you think is going to be the biggest disappointment according to you in terms of the
biggest disappointment? I think if Kane leaves, I think R9 is going to be the biggest disappointment, because in my head I'm expecting him to score 40 goals.
I meant the team. But
okay, the team. I think biggest disappointment. No. I think it's going to be Newcastle, dude. Firstly, because their kit looks like a jail. And Tonali behaves like he's in a jail. It's madness. I think Newcastle is finishing 8th. Plus, they have Champions League, dude. It's unfamiliar territory for them. 20 years, they don't know what to do. I think they'll crash out of the group stages. completely lose the plot. Eddie Howe will realize he's just a placeholder before they can spend big on some manager.
I would actually believe that if they went out of the Champions League early, then they'd do better in the Premier League.
For sure. Yeah,
I think they might. If they're current, if they're ninth and in the Champions League, if they get knocked out, they'll finish eighth. In my opinion.
Nothing higher.
But Tonali, dude, poor guy, man. It's like they've given him a jail rope to wear, dude. Damn.
I mean, we've all seen that video where you remember when he joined, he was like, he tells his missus that, oh, the gym was bigger in Italy. And oh my God, he's just absolutely on it. But anyway.
I forgot how to smile, dude.
Sandy, before we move to Rai, let's go for your top six.
Top six? I wouldn't take up as long as Ari, but it's like I have to say, am I giving it with my heart or with my brain? Because then there's one switcheroo that I have to make in my top
United,
four.
No. Don't put United top one. Then
Ari
will kick you off the street.
Swear to God.
I'll remove you from the meeting.
Go watch the La Liga, mate. No, Champions City, as much as it hurts me to say that, they're going to take it. Second, for some reason,
I mean, they do it like every year.
Yeah, because they're my neighbors, not yours. City, then Liverpool. And that hurts me to say it. City, Liverpool, United, followed by Arsenal / Chelsea. I can't tell between Arsenal and Chelsea for top five. I have a feeling Arsenal people are predicting them to be giving City a run for the title this year, but I genuinely feel they lack the depth in the squad, and Arteta is already losing his mind. Which manager gives this much of a damn about the community shield, man? Alex Ferguson used to call it the best preseason friendly.
That was last year in the Premier League, by the way.
Yeah. Then who's fifth? I'll say Brighton fifth. They're going to keep up with their antics from last season. And sixth, it's either Newcastle or what do you call it? Who else are we missing out there?
You're missing out Wolves.
No, Aston Villa. I have a feeling Aston Villa or Newcastle. Sixth or seventh. Sixth or seventh.
Aston Villa, Newcastle.
And relegation, Sandy?
So that's relegation. Bournemouth. They need
Bournemouth?
To go. Yeah, they've been.
Good shout.
They needed to go last season. I don't think Luton Town goes. And yeah. I also have another shocking prediction for relegation. I have a feeling Brentford.
He said Brentford and he froze. He said Brentford and he froze.
Even Zoom was banned up this guy.
Brentford is not a good bet, dude. To go down.
But yeah, until we get this delinquent back,
bro.
Yeah, you
bro, which one of you chucked me out?
You froze. You said Brentford and you froze.
No,
you dropped the biggest bomb on podcast and then you bloody froze only, bro.
I thought I got chucked out.
You froze. Worse,
you should have. We're still recording, by the way, Sandy. Welcome back.
No, that's fine. Wait, no, yeah, Luton Town. Luton Town,
City?
Brentford.
Are you gonna predict City to get relegated as well?
I wish, mate. What a season that'll make for. That'll be great. Wait, bro.
So, Sandy, who did you have? You had
Brentford.
Brentford?
Okay, wait. No. Brentford, and that while a shout. They've lost their goalkeeper. They've lost their striker.
They have, by the way, Brentford. If Raya had stayed at Brentford, I don't think he would have started. I think Flecken would have still started. Flecken is fantastic. The way they play... I mean, yes, Ivan Toney is a big loss, but I think Mbeumo will fill the gaps perfectly. And also, I think there are multiple teams that would get relegated before Brentford this season.
Okay, when Brentford came to the Prem, did you think they're a club to stay?
Yes.
Genuinely. Most people have them to get relegated the same season.
I
have a feeling they've overstayed
their...
I'm feeling they've overstayed the welcome.
I think Brentford is a very well-run club. I think it's a very well-managed club.
Overstayed their welcome.
That's Burnman, dude. That's Burnman. I'm telling you, they were supposed to go down that
Okay, let's just finish with at least Bournemouth, Brentford, and Brighton. On the bees, might as well throw
it. He's shocked.
Man's shocked, dude.
He's shocked. My God.
Okay, guys.
Scary, bro.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Rai, why don't you take it?
Okay, so I also, as everyone else, I have City as champions. I've actually, since the other day when we were supposed to record and we didn't, I've been trying to play around with this top six, and I'm more sure of who's going to get relegated and who I have down as a surprise and a disappointment than I have about what the top six is going to look like. But the latest iteration I have is United in second. I think, and I'll give you the reasons, I think that Ten Hag is a fantastic coach when it comes to transitions. And I think with the number of teams that now play possession-based football in the Premier League, I mean, you look at basically the whole top six, the traditional top six, Brighton, Newcastle, Villa, even Bournemouth have fantastic manager, free-flowing football, even Burnley. You know, so I think United will really benefit from facing opposition like that. I have Liverpool down in third. I have Arsenal in fourth. I have Spurs in fifth. And I have Brighton in sixth. I'm pretty sure of fifth and sixth in terms of my own predictions. 2, 3, 4, I think, is a conversation. I put Arsenal fourth last minute, but I think Arsenal could easily challenge for the top two, even come third. I think Spurs, people are massively underestimating Spurs, because I think it doesn't really matter. Obviously it matters, but it won't have that big of an impact if Kane leaves or stays, because I think this team is going to create so many chances that they will end up scoring enough goals. I don't think goal scoring is going to be an issue. I think the issue will come in defending and their out of possession structures, how they deal with the other team having the ball. With the ball, Spurs will be great. Without the ball, you know, that's the problem that Postecoglou's teams have always struggled with. So I don't think they'll challenge for the top four, but I think it'll be a good season with a lot of good football that, you know, Deep, I'm sure you'll enjoy watching in the stadium. I think Brighton are going to also keep up what they're doing. They've made some fantastic moves in the transfer market, especially with Mohamed Kudus, if they get that done. Evan Ferguson is my breakout player of the year. I think he's going to have a fantastic season with regular time as the starting number nine. So I think Brighton will carry on. I think the biggest disappointment is going to be Newcastle. There I agree with Adi. I just feel that while they've recruited decently, you know, Sandro Tonali is a fantastic player. Harvey Barnes is a upgrade on Saint-Maximin with his finishing. But I think they might stagnate a little bit before they really make a push again. So I think, especially with the Champions League, and if they drop out of the Champions League in the groups going into the Europa League, I think they'll struggle. And in terms of relegation, I have West Ham. I just don't think they've done enough. Wolves, it was a toss-up between West Ham and Wolves. After today's transfer business, I think this could also be Wolves. But I just think West Ham, especially if Moyes leaves right on the eve of the season, are going to struggle. I think Sheffield are going to struggle, and I think Luton are going to struggle. I think that my surprise team to watch out for is Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth have made fantastic signings. Bournemouth have got a fantastic manager. They've been proactive in the transfer market, especially with sacking a manager that did well. Traditionally, you keep that manager that kept you up in the league, but they've been proactive. They've ditched him. They've got a manager who plays brilliant football. He's got a great record. They've, like, just right now, a couple of hours back, they've signed Alex Scott, basically the best youngster in the EFL system right now. They've brought in some really good young players. I think Bournemouth people are sleeping on Bournemouth. I've actually got Iraola down as my manager of the season as well. I think they might have a season. They might have, a, they might have a. I think they'll be close to the top half.
Bournemouth.
Yeah, I think so. I think. I mean, they might not. They
doesn't Alex top doesn't Alex Scott have some injury also?
Yeah,
won't that
mean,
like hamper the first half
signing.
Of the season?
It's still a good signing. I think they've made plenty of good signings. And I think they might not break top half because I think this is the most competitive top 10 that we've seen in years. And the entire league is getting competitive. That's why I think Bournemouth have made the right move. I think Bournemouth are here to stay. I think Brentford are here to stay. I think Burnley are here to stay with their recruitment, with the style of football, with the management. I think these clubs are here to stay. I think, you know, clubs such as Everton, such as West Ham, such as Wolves, they're going to struggle at the hands of teams like this. Wolves, if they didn't have that FFP problem, they'd have been challenging the top half. A fantastic manager, as you saw last second half of last
year.
You know? I think it's over for Wolves, dude. They've literally sacked Lopetegui.
Ari, sorry, you're out of frame, at least on mine. I'm
Am
not
I back?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying it's over for Wolves, dude. I think it's going to be a sad, sad story for them this season. Like, you know, you're watching Titanic all over again.
Yeah, they anyway like they anyway struggled scoring goals last season.
Yeah, like Wolves are out of fashion, dude. It's more about the dogs these days.
Deep, tell us yours.
Yeah, I mean, I would sort of tend to agree with most of your largely, apart from some of Sandy's shocking takes. I think
that was the bottom four, and you watch Brentford get relegated. Okay, I'm ready to. Okay,
I'll take you for dinner, dude. But, I'll take you for dinner if Brentford get relegated.
And if they get relegated, you take me for like 7 dinners because I'm going out of the limb and saying Brentford are going to get relegated. It is a shocking observation.
You realize it was so shocking. Zoom literally throws you for like a good.
Ari, I realized. Okay, Ari, I've understood that you hate United. Yeah. You do not.
Deep prediction. So I have City to win it. Obviously, loads of speculation. Nobody's ever done it four times. Nobody. It's very high pressure. They've just come off the treble. They might be a bit lackadaisical, whatever. But I think if there's one team who can do it, it is Pep City. And like, I mean, just the way they're playing, they're one of the only teams in the Prem who, I mean, Sandy and I went to watch them. One off example, we went to watch them against Crystal Palace at the Etihad last year. They went 2-0 down. 3-0 down, if I'm no 2-0 down, then they came back second half to win 4-2. They're one of the only teams when they go down, their fans sit back, relax, and just have trust in the manager and in the system. So I still have obviously City to win. Again, I don't know whether it's personal bias, but I really don't think Arsenal are gonna back the chat, which has been obviously floating around for the past couple of weeks. They've had a really good transfer window. They've got Rice, they've got Kai Havertz, they've got Timber. Do I still think that will allow them to compete? I don't think so. I think they will make it to top four, but they're not coming top two. I have Liverpool to come second. After City, I think they should be one of the teams to beat, obviously apart from City. In terms of three, it's
think,
a tricky
I
one.
Just
but
wanna,
I, have...
I just want to interject there because I think we haven't spoken about Liverpool enough, and I've got them third, and you've got them second. So why don't you jump in? Why? Why?
I've
do
got
you
them
have
second
so
as well.
I've got them third,
well.
Dude. It's
yeah,
two.
So
got,
two. Exactly. We've all got them in our top three. So why are we rating them so highly, Deep?
I don't know. I think it's an interesting one. A, obviously, the entire sort of last year, they weren't really at it. Now, their transfer season, in my opinion, hasn't been exceptional. They've had, I think, McAllister, and they've had the Leipzig player.
Szoboszlai.
Szoboszlai or whatever. Yes, it does sort of fill in a few gaps with, like, they've had Ox leaving, they've had Milner leaving, they've had a few more sort of outgoings this season. But in general, I just think there's a lot more to come out of that team. There is, apart from sort of City now, Liverpool have always been that team who can, you know, the back end of tournaments at in crucial times, they have been those teams to sort of keep up. They do have that in them. Klopp is, whatever said and done, a phenomenal manager. How much ever he might cry, how much ever what he might do, they have arguably one of the best sort of right wingers in Salah. They have Diaz, they have Cody Gakpo, they have Van Dijk, they have the works. They have, I would expect a lot more from Trent this season. I think, yeah, last year he sort of had a bit of a dip, also because there was just such massive expectations on his shoulder, but now he's sort of coming out of that, and I think he will have a crucial role to play. So overall, I think that's one team where obviously you do have all the chat about the Arsenals and the Chelsea with, and we can speak more about Chelsea and Poch and how he's going to fit into their setup and what he's going to do for them. But I think, yeah, overall, Klopp has had this side for a while. He knows what he's doing with them. He's not messed around with the squad. He knows exactly the way he wants them to play. The players understand the manager, and I think that's really important, especially when you're talking about the top four and the sort of top contenders for top four. That being said, they aren't playing Champions League next season. I think that would play a massive role in them performing really well and them wanting to prove a point. So yeah, I think that's sort of why I have Liverpool to come second over the rest. But yeah, do you guys want to add anything on that?
Yeah, I think for me, I just have one thought of why I've put them third. It goes like, Darwin Nunes, he came from Benfica to the big reds. I think he's going to have a big, big season. Finish close.
You
were
a cheeky bear before this pod, no? you got one saying, of those cold ones in.
Bro, you needed them. Talking about Darwin Nunes, you need a cold one. You know why? Because my guy is going to open up all opportunities for Liverpool, dude. I'm telling you, I think he's going to he's gonna finish with 20 goals. Still behind Salah, though, in Liverpool scoring charts. But I think he's going to get close to 20 goals full season, like apart from Prem also, I'm saying. So in the Prem, 15 is also enough for him.
Also with Liverpool, don't you feel like their midfield over the past few years was the main issue? It was getting older and older. And like it needed to go, Hendo needed to go, Fabinho needed to go. And finally, that the fact that they're gone, it gives them a chance to rebuild that midfield. Dominic is a great signing. And Trent, we already saw him play one friendly in the midfield for England. And he looked like he was on it. And I just can't wait to see some of that next season. And him and Salah link up. That'd be,
even McAllister is a great signing for them.
Right, exactly. So top four is a no-brainer for me, for Liverpool. But top two, like, I see them competing. They've had that off-season, like Deep said. They don't have Champions League to focus on next year. It gives them all the right to go up and put the fed up to City again next season.
So I think, yeah, I'll move on with my prediction. But I think, yes, that's why. And I mean, a lot of clubs are very reactionary. You'll have like Spurs take Chelsea, Spurs with our managers, Spurs with our signings, Chelsea with their signings. They sort of have a massive influx and outflux of players. Liverpool know what they're dealing with. They're confident in their team. So, and their manager. If it was a Spurs or a Chelsea, Klopp would have been out by now. Couple of bad seasons. That seems to be the emerging trend in the Prem, which is, I mean, as we were discussing, there's now chat of the Wolves manager leaving, the West Ham manager leaving. So all of this, Liverpool is happy. But so yeah, I have Liverpool down for second. I have, pains me to say, but I have Chelsea down for third. I think, and again, it's a bold prediction because obviously Mourinho's...
Kind of elaborate on that because...
Yeah.
Because, you know, we haven't spoken about Chelsea and new manager who obviously we know very well. And you would expect that the expectation for Chelsea would be good. But is the fact that it's such a young team and obviously now known Nkunku for the first couple of months of the season... they've got a very young defense. Is that going to have an impact? But you're predicting they come third. So you're obviously...
back. So, I mean, yeah, I was actually going to get your opinion, Rai, on this because obviously you've seen and obviously you've you know a lot more about Poch, his tactics, his style of play. But I don't know, I just feel that as you say, Chelsea have a really, really young squad. It must be about not more than 24, 20, yeah, 23, 24, 25 maybe, tops. They have a really young squad. They've sold a lot of their sort of dead wood, as much as they might have paid for it, for them. And they have an academy which they're sort of trying to feed off now. With Poch, I think that's what he sort of brings in. He's always, even at Spurs, he's sort of been that guy to sort of transform the team in terms of stick with the club, stick with the academy players, use the academy players, make the most out of these young players, and absolutely reshape the way the club plays with them. In terms of tactics, I can speak a bit about it, but Rai, why don't we get your thoughts on how you see Poch playing with this current Chelsea squad?
So, see, I think, you know, I've kind of intentionally not paid attention to a lot of what Chelsea has done, is because, I mean, this has been a tough summer.
Too close to home.
It's been a tough summer for Spurs. You know, we've had to deal with the summer starting with us getting linked to, like, Nagelsmann, Poch, etc., not getting any of them, then Poch going to Chelsea. And while I'm very happy with the manager we've got, that's only because we've got to know his style of play and his characteristics now that he's become the manager. But when I look at what the transfers Chelsea have done and the way Poch plays, I think it's a lot like the first season at Spurs, where he got rid of a lot of the previous regime in terms of the players. So he got rid of Adebayor, got rid of Aaron Lennon, regardless of what they had done for the club. So, you know, here you're looking at Mason Mount, obviously not old, but a player who's been around at Chelsea for a while. And you'll see Poch trust a lot of the youngsters. So, I mean, for example, a player like Andre Santos, a Brazilian youngster, I think he'll get a good run in the team. I think Conor Gallagher will get a good run in the team if he's not sold. Nicholas Jackson, especially with Noah Nkunku, he could be one to watch.
Didn't Nkunku get a preseason injury?
Yeah,
he's out for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So they might just go in for Caicedo.
Yeah, so they're trying to get Caicedo for 100 million. I think, again, that's another one of the transfers that's going to be finalized by tonight or in the next 24 hours. That's what Fab just tweeted. I was having a look. But I think it'll be exciting to watch. I think because of the inexperience of their team, I'm not putting them up there yet. I think they could definitely, because of how competitive it is, I think that they might struggle, but, you know, who knows? I mean, his first season, Spurs came fifth, and I think this Chelsea team is slightly more developed than that Spurs team was, but obviously having that luxury of Kane and Walker, etc., I think there was a lot of quality there. Reece James, Chilwell, same case here. You know, so it'll be very interesting, but I can't place them so far. That's why I haven't put them in my talks, because I'm not being able to accurately place them yet.
Yeah, I think I've sort of just opened it up, and it's super interesting to see the players gone out. So you have Kante, you have Koulibaly, Kovacic, Mendy, Kai Havertz, Loftus-Cheek, Mason Mount, Azpilicueta, Pulisic, and Aubameyang officially gone, and a couple of other sort of academy players. But that just shows that at one point of time could have been an entire team. And those sort of outgoings will, I mean, some will say have an impact on the team. Some will say that, look, these guys were literally just sat there. They weren't, that Chelsea team was sort of so stocked that nobody actually really cared. A guy like Aubameyang never wanted to be a Chelsea. So anyway, yeah, I can't really say. And yeah, it is a young squad. I just, obviously, it is a bit of a bittersweet sort of situation with Poch. I do think he'll take them to the top four, and I really can't really say I hope them to, but I think he will. So I think it'll be between Arsenal and Chelsea for 3 and 4. And I have Tottenham at fifth. And again, sixth, there are sort of a few clubs. It's...
You're missing out United. You put Spurs above United at the moment.
For a reason, he's missed out on United. It's
no, wait, Ari, 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 Ari,
I have put Spurs above United, and I think United will come sixth.
That's just shocking. That's more shocking than Brentford. Why the hell did you guys laugh at me like that?
It might be a bit optimistic. It might be this thing, but I don't know. No, I feel Spurs are sort of in a situation right now where we have nothing to lose. Everyone has sort of written us off.
You guys were due a season like this, right? You guys were like each season, like ever since, let's say, your Champions League final, you've gone into the season with a lot of expectations. And like finally this year onwards, you don't have like solid like Champions League like things to keep up with. You've got a manager who's not going to be targeted by the English media like that, where he's going to lose his job. In the get-go, he's going to get time to develop the squad. So I feel like if not top six even, but you're definitely going to play a more entertaining brand of football altogether.
So yeah, I think just to summarize, I think my top six would be City, Liverpool, Arsenal, I said Chelsea, but now when I put it down in my fingers, I'm like, oh. Okay, Chelsea/Man United. No. United is below Spurs. So Chelsea/Tottenham, and then whatever, fifth, sixth is United. And then relegation, I have Luton. I think they'll come, they'll have fun, but they won't stay. I have Everton. I think they're just not going to be it this season. And third, I don't know. It's tough to sort of say West Ham because just it doesn't seem like... As of now, yes, they have a shit team. And sorry for my language, but I think West Ham is going to be the third team that goes down. I don't think they're there yet at all. So yeah, those are my three teams. What else were we sort of getting at?
He's not relegation. So let's have a look at some of our individual player predictions. We'll go quickly. Best player, top scorer, and young player of the season. I mean, according to you, or like you can do young player or breakout. You don't want to necessarily want to say best young player, but like a breakout player who you think will be good. So Sandy, I want to go with you first.
I was thinking best player, and such a tough question. Like overall, it's impossible to say someone other than De Bruyne who brings that thing to the game where he scores goals and assists the way a footballer, like an all-round footballer. I can see other than him in the Prem right now, as of tonight, is Kane. But Kane's not going to win silverware. So for best player, I'm still going to go with De Bruyne. Golden Boot, there's no other man other than Haaland who's going to win it. Breakout is going to be, since Nkunku's got that injury now, Chukwuemeka is going to start a lot more. Oh, it's a Chelsea. And that man can dribble. I'd love to see him play.
Okay. Ali?
I think best player, I think this is... I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. I think Mohamed Salah. I think he's going to come back and he's going to absolutely smash it all around for Liverpool. I think it's going to be the old Mo for Liverpool. I think Mo Salah is going to be the best player this season. Top scorer, again, you know, I can't see past Erling Haaland and neither should you guys. he's just too good, yeah, to be very honest. He can convert any chance, no matter where it is. Breakout star, Nico Jackson, is my opinion. He's had a good preseason. Nkunku's out injured, and how do you pronounce his name? I'm forgetting it. The Chelsea youngster. He's going to be playing.
There are quite a few youngsters in that team, Ali.
No, the one you said.
You're talking about Mudrik.
No, the other one you said.
Enzo Chelsea Fernandez. Youngster. The best FIFA player.
No, Ali, the one you just now mentioned.
The one
Chukwuemeka.
Yeah, I think Chukwuemeka. He's anyway starting. Yeah, he's I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's starting the season. as a number 10, I think with him behind Nico Jackson, I think these two might cook something special for us.
Yeah. I think I'll quickly drop it before Rai, you can wrap it up. But I think best player, I think until Harry Kane plays, it'll be hard for me to say anyone else. I think overall, not just goals, but what he brings in, like, to the team, and just his passing and overall game sense, and obviously goal scoring ability. I think Harry Kane, breakout player, or like young player who I really, really admire, is Destiny Udogie. I didn't know much about it. I must confess, I didn't know anything about him until we signed him a year or so back. And then obviously he was on loan. But I've been watching him preseason. I watched him the other day when I went for the preseason game as well. He is phenomenal. He's pacey. And I think in our current system, he fits in perfectly. So I think Udogie and Golden Boot, I think, yeah, I was sort of having this discussion with someone else where I was like, I don't think Haaland is going to do it this season. But in that City team, I think he will sort of win the Golden Boot again, whether Kane stays or not. So I have Haaland down for Golden Boot. Rai.
You're on mute, I think, Rai.
Sorry, my bad.
I don't think he is.
I've got Haaland for Golden Boot. I think that's a no-brainer. My breakout player of the season is Evan Ferguson. I think, sure, he played a decent amount last year, but I think he's going to get regular minutes. And this is a top class talent. I mean, this is a talent at the level where I would look at him as a Kane replacement in the next couple of years. I think this guy's going to go right to the top. As player of the season, I've gone for Jack Grealish. I think I didn't want to say Haaland because I think City are going to be runaway winners. So other than Haaland, I think this is the season where Grealish is going to really, really come to the top of this Man City team. You could already see it in the second half of last season, but you know, now no Mahrez. So he's going to have much more minutes. So I think Grealish is going to be, for me, is the player of the season. But yeah, those are my predictions. What about signing of the season? Who do you guys have signings of the season for yourselves? I've got Madison, because I think in terms of bringing something to a team, I think this is one of the major problems that Spurs have had over the last couple of years. Barring Kane, there's no creativity. And especially now that Kane is probably going to leave, you know, for the fact that Spurs have brought in a player with the quality on the ball and creativity on the ball, like Madison, I think will reduce the burden on the guy who comes in to replace Kane. It will provide him many more chances to you know, get a lot of goals.
I think for me, it's Dominic Szoboszlai from Liverpool. I think with Henderson, Milner and Fabinho, what they lacked for so many years was creativity in that middle three. Henderson absolutely provided nothing but just a few claps. Milner is an old man. I don't know how he's still playing for Brighton. He's playing. And Fabinho had that purple patch for about 3 games. And then he was back to being an average player. So they actually struggled to get any creativity out of that team. Now that three of McAllister, Trent and Szoboszlai is bleeding with creativity. And I think Szoboszlai is the best of them. Him as a number 10, number 8, you know, hybrid of that role that most of the players are playing these days. I think he's going to be absolutely phenomenal for Liverpool. Great player. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in the league.
Yeah. Oh, Kane to Bayern, man. Need a...
I thought for a second he announced to us that Kane had gone to Bayern, and I was looking at Twitter. I was like, okay, this is not how I wanted to find out.
In terms of incomings, I don't know, Prem already has so much talent, but Declan Rice to Arsenal is definitely a good signing. like in order that the one that fits their team and is going to have a good impact on the club they signed for. That's one. And hopefully, Onana United works out well.
Me, man got skinned from the half line. Let me remind you of that.
That was Dallo's fault. That was Dallo's fault. We don't need to talk about it.
Chipped from the half
line. That was Dallo's fault. That was Dallo's fault.
So much hype due to Nana.
Ari, I was going to say Bellingham to Madrid was my transfer of the season, but again, we're speaking about the Prem.
It's Mbappe to Madrid, bro.
And deep for you.
See.
I have Josh Guardiol to City. I think
that's
he's a phenomenal
one.
Player. I think
that's
he'll,
a really good one.
Yeah. He'll do really well. I know we were linked to him last year as well. This year as well for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, please, huh?
Yeah, I know he's a phenomenal player. I think he'll do really well, A for City and B in the Prem in general. So I have him down as signing of the season.
All right, so I think that's it for this episode. We've also we've got a quick 15 to 20 minute YouTube video coming out on the FPL season. We're going to preview some players you guys are going to be looking at. You know, some of our teams, discuss some of our teams. So that'll be out on YouTube around the same time as this this episode pops up on Spotify and YouTube and other places. Anyways, Deep, back to you.
I think we've it's brilliant to be back this episode after a long, long while. We do apologize, being majorly overdue. We are going to be way more regular now, and Ari has committed to that.
100%.
No, last minute this thing. Hugo Lloris has just been offered to Real Madrid.
Oh wow.
Nice offer. Let us think about this for a couple of minutes before we say no.
But he will say
no. I'll write an email to the club.
Deepa, let you finish.
on that note, cheers everyone. Thank you very much for listening, tuning in. As always, if you have any suggestions, any talking points, or anything else you want us to speak about, feel free to.
We will cover in the next couple of weeks. We're looking to cover stuff like Indian football. You know, it's been a really good summer for Indian football. Asian games are coming up. World Cup qualifying is coming up. Also, I mean, I'd be interested in talking about the Women's World Cup. I've been following it here and there, even though the timing's a bit off, especially with the quarterfinals and semifinals coming up. So we'll be covering a bunch of stuff, not just the Premier League, over the next couple of weeks.
And we also do potentially have a few exciting people we are going to have on our podcast. So definitely exciting times ahead. And yeah, as Rai says, we're not just going to cover the Prem or sort of Western football. We are going to sort of
Ari's looking to release a column on the Saudi Pro League. Every day, every morning, and, tune in on his Instagram.
I'm actually looking forward to watching Milinkovic-Savic finally come alive in the Saudi Pro League playing for Al Hilal.
Exactly.
And Mendy,
so,
dude,
anyway, looking I think forward that's something to we will it. Sort of cover as well, for sure, in our future episodes. But for now, thank you very much. And we will speak and have another episode out soon. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Stay safe.